much. What a night to be in the house. Oh man, God is so good. God is so good. Does anyone believe God is still good? All the time, like we often say, and all the time he is good. Man, thank you, Jesus. Oh, it was a great time of worship. I enjoyed worshiping from the front with y'all tonight. And good to see you all in the house. Whew, I'm out of breath a little bit. That's okay though, isn't it? Well, thank you, Jesus. Shaping the future is what we want to talk about tonight. Oh man, that's what God has called us to do, is to shape the future in your family, in your workplace, in your city, in our nation, in our world. Man, we're called to something so great and so much bigger than any one person. It's exciting to be part of this mission. People need Jesus, friends. There will be an end, and Beloved City Church still has room. Are you with me? People need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus, and everybody needs a home, right? And there will be an end, and Beloved has room. So welcome to church. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are, she's the better looking one, of course. Hey, look at this. Repping the new merch drop tonight. Watch this. Beloved. Some of you thought I was going to say beloved. Let me try it again. Just kidding. Anyways, I love having fun. It's going to be good. Oh, anyways, we're so grateful that you were in the room with us tonight. And tonight is the Heart for the House Sunday. I just want to make sure that I get an opportunity to share with you my heart for this church and our heart, my wife and I, as we planted this church a couple years ago, and excited for what God is doing in this house to help us shape the future of families and marriages and workplaces and schools, right, Tristan, in your school even. And I get to share with you tonight why Beloved City Church exists, the heartbeat behind it. And I believe, oh man, I think you're going to get excited tonight how you can be part of building and growing God's great church. God's great church. Yeah, do you believe it's great? I believe it's great. Oh, man, it is. A thriving and life-giving church that shapes the future of people who call this beautiful city home. But tonight, I promise you, it's going to be better than just an info session. Who needs another info session, right? In the age of information, you can just Google whatever you want at your fingertips. But tonight, I believe that I have an invitation for you, a call to some, and a reminder to some as well, and an invitation to a God-sized vision. How many know here that you need a vision for your life? Amen. Did you know if you don't have a vision for your marriage, if you don't have a vision for your workplace, your business, your kids, raising your kids, whatever you are, if you don't have a vision, you're like a boat that's drifting without a rudder. We need vision, friends. We need it. And God has called us to it. And he said, one of the ancients said, write it on a tablet, make it plain so that you people can run with it. And so I want you to be able to put it in your craw, put it in your pipe and smoke it, whatever it is that you got to do to get it up inside of you, up in here, right? Yes. Where did I go? Anyways. Getting excited. It's cold up here, actually, after all that sweating down there. But it's an invitation and a call to a God-sized given mission to make an eternal difference in the lives of people in this city, just like you and me. Someone somewhere along the way invited me to church. Actually, I was raised in church, so, you know, hey, I got maybe a little bit of a sweet spot there, but many of you were invited to church. But you know what? Even though I was raised in church and under the pew, picking the gum off of the bottom of the pew and chewing secondhand gum or whatever I was doing, I still remember that personal invitation that God himself through the Holy Spirit extended to me. I remember the night that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. My life was changed, and I believe that whether you were invited by someone else or whether you were invited personally by the Holy Spirit, your life can be changed by that invitation. So we want to be a part of that mission of inviting people to join God's heartbeat in seeking the one, the least, the last, and the lost. There is nothing more exciting, friends, than being an integral part of a team that's building a team that builds the local church. That's what I'm excited about. So just seeing you and I being a part of a team that's God said, I want to work for this team, and I want to build something great, that not just for the sake of being great and for having pedestals and platforms and all that stuff, but to reach people with the good news of Jesus, to share all this life-changing experience that I've had in my life. I want to share it with other people. It's great news. Does anyone believe that you still are walking in the good news of Jesus? Just a couple of you. That's good. We'll get there. Some of you were in the room on New Year's Eve. Some of you, I think a couple of people quit church after that because we know how to party around here. People are like, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit. Well, hey, we like to dance too and have some fun, right? And Holy Spirit, like, you know, it's just part of it. He loves to have fun too. He created that emotion to have joy, right? And use those hips and legs to dance is okay. So we love a party. We do. And next Sunday is going to be a party. We're going to party up in here. Woo! We're going to have fun. We're going to worship. We're going to party for Jesus first, right? And then we're going to hear a short gospel word. And so you can bring your friends. We won't get weird, I promise. I think I can promise that. And then we're going to have food, right? Who doesn't? Jesus always had food at every party he showed up. We won't have wine, but Jesus brought wine that one time, remember? And but then we're going to have a DJ. There's going to be some inflatables for the kids, and we're just going to have fun. But we like to party. But anyways, on New Year's Eve, we had a party. And amidst the party, we kicked off 2024 with a challenge to take ground. Take ground, to move church forward. A growing army of people who are passionate for loving and following the way of Jesus and the words of Jesus and the practices of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So that's what we're practicing, the practice of Jesus and the lifestyle of Jesus. And here's what I often say, what we're actually doing is plundering hell and filling up heaven. I love it. I'm gonna empty hell out. Woo! Right? And fill heaven. Like, this is eternal impact that we're making, friends. It's not just about filling up a building. We're filling up heaven, and that's exciting. We're not called out of sin and iniquity and into, out of darkness and broken habits and into the light and life of Jesus to be passive church spectators. That's no fun, right? But to be passive in our faith, because that just goes nowhere, or fatigued from pursuing the unfulfilling idols of our culture, which are actually counterfeits to God's kingdom of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? Beautiful. And together on the eve of 2024, we refused to lose ground to the enemy any longer. We refused to bow to the pressures of culture. We refused to give up our Sundays for work and pleasure and recreation any longer. We refused to be entertained any longer by sin and lust-filled pleasures of this flesh, right? We refused to drink the poison of offense and rejection. Oh, man, that's been tough sometimes, isn't it? How many like to walk around offended because, you know, it's just like, I'm justified in this. All right, but we refuse to be, to drink the poison of offense and rejection. And together we did commit on that wonderful even to forgive sooner. Mm-hmm. To invest our time and our energy and finances as heavenly stewards of kingdom resources. That's what we've been given a job to do. It's beautiful. We did commit to live and to worship from a place of victory and to leave behind the place of victimhood. How many of you are winning? Oh, I hope someone's winning in the room tonight. Oh, man, so good. Are we there yet? No, we're not there. We haven't arrived, right? No one's perfect. Yay. Because I'm not. And as soon as we bring any one of us into here, church just loses perfection, right? That's okay, though. It's all right. But we're only halfway through 2024. But here's what we're finding and what I love and I'm excited about is there's people who are still finding hope. There's people who are still finding healing from their yesterdays and hope for their tomorrows, right? There's still people who are finding freedom from those things that just don't bring life everlasting. And there's people who are still finding purpose in this church. Did you know that? It's exciting. Like Joshua and Caleb, remember we talked about that briefly, and so many of the ancients who have passed on before us. We have actually seen the hand of the Lord in our midst. Has anyone seen the hand of the Lord in your life in this last little while? Many of you, along with myself, have been rising to the challenge to take ground for the kingdom of heaven in your personal life and in your family and in your marriage and in your finances, in your workplace, and where you live, work, play, and study. You have already begun to take ground for the kingdom. Meaning, what does that look like? It means I'm spending my money different. I'm looking at different things. I'm investing my time and energy differently. I'm inviting and investing into people who I might not even know, but I'm bringing them alongside me into relationship with me. And the Holy Spirit is working on them too. Yeah. Right, Tony? Yeah. He, God is so good. My amen corner's over here. That's good. We've seen the hand of the Lord in our lives, in your family, in your soul, which is the handbasket or the basket that holds your mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. You've been seeing some healing in your soul and in your emotions. We've been rising to the challenge to take more ground for the kingdom. For your neighbors, for your city, your church. Hey, remember the challenge was, let's go over the Jordan. Remember this in Joshua 1:3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I will give you. This is the kind of year that 2024 is intended to be. I believe that was a prophetic word for our church on the December 31st, 2023, 2020, yeah, 23 into January 1st, right? We celebrated. And I personally challenged this year to take ground. I even challenged myself in my own life to lead up in my health and fitness. I know you can't tell because it's really slow, but that's okay. In my prayer life, you probably can't still tell. That's okay. I'm still trying, right? I love praying, right? It's fun. I really enjoy it, but I want to pray more in 2024. Why? Because this is my communication with God. I want to talk to him more because he's just so good and he's so life-giving. And I just, it's a beautiful relationship. I can crawl up into daddy's lap per se and say, God, I'm here to talk to you and listen to you as well, right? And just talk to me, help me. I committed to grow more in my biblical literacy this year. So I'm taking more courses and studying more and looking into all kinds of fun things to study in the Word of God. I want to grow in my biblical literacy. I want to know more of God's Word in 2020. This is my personal commitment. I want to give more. I want to move kingdom dreams into action in 2024. For us corporately as a church, I remember the challenge for us was to make 2024 a year to invite and to invest, to push back against small-mindedness and spiritual poverty and the urge to play it safe. Ah, I don't want to play it safe anymore. Is there anyone else here that doesn't want to play it safe? To tear down the idols in my life and in our lives as a church, to be devoted to this, to tear down the idols of comfort and careerism and consumerism. That's what our host culture is all about. And God's saying, hey, I've got a different way for you. So let's tear down those idols. We will be undeterred by offense. We will speak up with truth and in love. We will worship loud. Oh, we love to worship loud. At least, I love to worship loud. I don't care if I'm the only one shouting over it. I'm going to worship Jesus because he's worthy of every praise that I can give him, right? We want to worship loud. We want to push back against cultural Christianity. We will fight the good fight of faith. We will invite lost people into our church and into our lives. We will give generously. We will be unafraid. And we will be determined to choose joy. That's the corporate challenge we had on New Year's Eve on 2023 into 2024. And it's so fascinating to me to be part of God's wonderful and beautiful church, what scripture refers to as the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church, as we see in scripture too. And his church today, his body today is thriving, is alive and well all around the world, filled with many people like you and I, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, demon-crushing, self-sacrificing world changers. Right? We got a couple of you in the room. That's good. And it's not just our goal to have right theology, although right theology is really important. And it's not just our goal to have strong morality. Strong morality is good too. But truly the gift of God's great church, built on the foundations of the Word of God and empowered and transformed by the Holy Spirit living in me, activated and engaged in God's mission and in this city, is that there are people still yet today who still have a goal and desire to live and to give and to serve and to love the way Jesus lived and served and gave and loved. I'm in love with it. I'm crazy for it, and that's okay. God calls it. You don't have to be crazy like me, but look at scripture with me for a moment. There were two characters in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus was helping a couple of his students adjust their thinking and to reset their goals, much like he's still helping us to do today through his word and through the Holy Spirit. And as this group of Jesus followers and students were making their way to Jerusalem, namely James and John began to dream about the positions they would hold in Jesus' kingdom. Like, Jesus, we're so grateful to know you. Like, we even get free Jesus-y swag and, lots of perks here. Food out of nowhere, storms calm, sandals that never wear out. Like, but Jesus, when you're on the throne again on earth kind of thing, about to overthrow the oppressive government that we have here, the Roman government that they were under, and just, like, make everything better, obviously, Jesus, right? Take control of the world. Like, big deal stuff here is what James and John were thinking, right? And much like us still today, they wanted to know, what is in it for me? Like, we should at least have a couple places of honor, right? Front row name tag or something. Or of ease and of comfort. Authority. Oh, we love authority. Yes, I'm in charge. Oh, man. God, could you award us like the highest level of power and honor? This is James and John thinking. Give us some name tags, special hats maybe, really. And Jesus responded with this in Mark 10:42 and 45 from the Message paraphrase. He says, you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, and when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. How many here, you don't have to put your hands, I'll put my hand up just because I'm not embarrassed at all by this, the fact that you get a little power and it goes to your head. I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was in charge. When I was like one of those traffic controller guys in school and volunteering, I'm like, whoa, stop right there. In the name of love. I had all the authority to stop traffic so students could go across. Man, it went to my head. I was like so in charge. Oh man, we love power sometimes, don't we? It's not going to be that way with you, Jesus says. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your slave. Strong words, right? That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. See, in time, the disciples would learn and come to understand if they wanted to be elevated in God's kingdom, if they truly desired kingdom influence to walk in the power and the appointing anointing, they needed to lower themselves and serve others. In the Jesus-centered way of living, you laid your life down. You were humble, Jesus. That's what you did. You stepped out of eternity into time and space to not only show us who God was and what he's like, but to show us how we as human beings can actually live under the power of the Holy Spirit. You served us, not just so we could be esteemed and sit in places of power and authority, but to instead discover a greater and eternal purpose than one could ever imagine with this human mind. By taking the focus off ourselves, permitting our lives and my loves to be I still ask God, reorder my loves. My loves are out of order some days, right? And I need God to reorder my life and to reorder my loves, my spiritual, my attitude, my spirit, my ethics, to be transformed into the very likeness. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in me, is conforming me to the image and likeness of Jesus. To discover a greater and eternal purpose than I could ever imagine. All for the sake of fulfilling God's great kingdom purposes. Fulfilling Jesus' commands to serve and to give. And this is love, he says. Jesus says, I came to serve, not to be served. Came to give my life in exchange for many who are held hostage. And then he's like this. He's like, hey, by the way, here's how you can participate in your newfound identity as a Christian, an image bearer of Christ, right? It's not just a social club that we belong to or a church that we belong to, but I actually belong to Jesus. My life is being conformed to his likeness. I am one in Christ as he is with the Father. It's beautiful what we have, this reunion with God. He's like, here's how you can participate in the way of Jesus. Jesus then gave his followers this command. He had just been raised from the dead. You might know the story. He shows up and he says this in Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And you've heard this, his favorite for some of you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yet he didn't just stop there. Beautiful commandments. In response to this new hope that we have in Christ, this eternity with God, Christ being back from the dead, giving me his Holy Spirit, you too, and we have a role to play within that relationship. What is that role? I can actually be an integral part of this movement, making more Jesus followers around me, part of this spiritual family that we've been adopted into, God's great church, right? And I can be resourced, like you have been, to live out this kingdom responsibility as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. We're actually responding to this call of action to Jesus in my life. And I can't help but rise up as part of the army of the Lord, as I'm maturing in my faith and maturing in my responsibility to take responsibility, to own that on mission, rescuing the least, the last, and the lost people that I'm getting to know around me and where I live, work, study, and play. Jesus called them hostages. Rescuing people, real faces, real stories, real families that you and I are interacting with every day. Rescuing them from the clutches of spiritual death and darkness, a Christless state of existence, and eternity without Jesus. But see, you and I, friends, were called to shape the future for least, last, and lost people, to shape the future for our city, to shape the future in your marriage, to shape the future in your household, to shape the future in your school and in your workplace and your university. To shape the future for your sister, your brother, your parent, cousin, coworker, your boss even. Your neighbor. Can you hear their cry for help? As a hostage, can you hear their cry for change and for some hope in their life? Jesus says to the church in Revelation 2, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Can you hear with your ear? How is the Spirit leading you? How are you listening for the Spirit to lead you? See, Jesus gives gifts to enable you to fulfill his mission, to continue his mission. He went away, friends, so that you and I could do greater things than he even did. He tells us of that in Scripture, to advance the kingdom of heaven, bringing a taste of heaven to earth by the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, Acts 1 and 8, Jesus, he says this, you, and we just went through Holy Spirit series, and you might remember this, but in Acts chapter 1, this is like beautiful, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, you are enabled witnesses of Christ Jesus, who served and gave his life for a cause so great, restoring humanity, including you and I, back into relation with our God in creation. See, so I don't know if you're listening, because you know what, when I think of God in creation, sometimes it's like we seem so detached from that, because it's like so big and so mind-blowing. God of creation, I'm in relationship with it. What does that even mean? And it's hard to understand, hard to wrap our heads around. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when your life is pickled by the Holy Spirit, life changes. You are transformed. The way you think, the way you act, your emotions, your desires, your agendas, your motivations begin to look more and more like Jesus. And you're starting to experience that conforming, experience that transformational power in your life. And it's not just for you. I love it. There's this pay it forward kind of thing that's going on, that is, I get to invite other people into that life with me, into that relationship with me. It's a body thing. It's a body ministry, right? This is the work of the Holy Spirit in me, by saving me and enabling me to serve others, to save them too. Meaning I'm giving my life to the cause of shaping the future for somebody else. It is a mission from, you might say, central command, from God, if I'm in the Lord's army. Bring in the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus into the street, into the marketplace. Mark 16:15. I don't have this one on the screen for you. I don't think, maybe I do. Mark 16:15, he said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Beautiful. This is mission from central command. And we will see results. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach. Sorry, Mark 16:20. And then disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We get to be, friends, the very hands and feet of Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. Actively engaged in what we might even call spiritual war. It's a battle and a fight for the sake of other people's souls. And so my challenge to us is, whose face is coming to your mind even right now? Whose voice are you hearing? Whose cry? Some of you know that if they only knew Jesus, it would make all the difference in the world for them. What's their cry sound like? Is it a single mom struggling to raise a family on her own? Is it a teenage boy struggling with self-worth, wondering if his future is even worth it? Is it a young girl you know who's experienced disordered eating because she wants to feel attractive? Maybe it's a friend who is not certain what gender they're supposed to be, and they're confused and suffering through an identity crisis in their life. Maybe it's a young couple trying for the fourth time to have a baby, and it's been miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. Maybe you know a fellow employee going through a really tough time, a messy divorce. Maybe it's disease, cancer. Treatment has been really tough, hard to go through. Not sure if we're really going to make it through this. Would you respond to their cry? Are you hearing their cry first? And how would you respond to their cry? Would you be available to invite them into your life, to listen for their cry? See, when I hear a cry, I hear my sister. I'll be honest with you tonight. I'm vulnerable. A girl who once knew God intimately. A girl who made some really poor choices in her teenage years. Who got mixed up in the wrong crowd and started using substances to cope with her pain and her anxiety and sense of loss. She lost her home, and she lost her career as a nurse, and she lost her spouse of 10 years, and she ended up on the streets using harder substances just so that she could sleep. Her kids can't stand being with her. She emotionally manipulates others to get her way, only to disappoint over and over and over again. Her fourth child is from a second relationship. but now she's being raised by her grandparents. I can hear her cry. She is desperate for change. She's been through rehab more times than I can count. She's held hostages by voices in her head and by vices that she uses to try and keep control of something in her life. She needs Jesus, friends. And her cry is getting louder. And see, life is still getting shorter. And people still need Jesus. And there is an end that's coming. And Beloved City Church still has room. Can you hear the cry of somebody that God has planted in your life? Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you've been ignoring that person's text for a while. And it's like, but God's just trying to stir your heart tonight. He said, listen, I put them on your heart for a reason. Would you listen to their cry? Would you respond? Would you be a part of the mission that I've called you to be a part of? If she was to come to church tonight, my sister, I would want the best parking attendant available with the biggest and warmest smile to help her find parking. I would want the most warmest welcoming smile to greet her and to shake her hand, high five, and hold the door open for her. Welcome her to church. Welcome to church tonight. I'm so glad you are here. I would want an usher to help her find the best seat in the house. I would want the worship team to invite hearts to the attention of Jesus and just be pouring out their lives to Jesus on in worship. And I would want to preach the best message I had ever preached. And I would not want to forget to offer a salvation response and next steps for my sister. Because I can hear her cry. And I know she needs Jesus desperately in her life, obviously. And you know what? She carries herself really well. You probably wouldn't even know that she's a drug user. You probably wouldn't know that she has spent a lot of her life on the street. You might not even recognize the desperation of your story if you saw her. But she's sure on high alert for judgy people. Even the slightest side eye would probably send her packing. And if she doesn't know where to go, confused in any way, she probably would leave just as fast as she could. If she couldn't get plugged into a life-giving city group that helped her to become the follower of Jesus that Jesus has designed her to be, with grace and love and with truth, she might not last more than a couple of weeks and she'd be back to the same lifestyle. If she wasn't given the tools to help her succeed, a freedom group where she could share safely about her problems and her situations and her battles, a safe place to unload her burdens, to cry and to feel and experience a living God and his loving presence. Friends, whose cry are you hearing? I'm trying to make it personal because I want it to be personal for you. It's personal for me. And I want for anything and for everything in this room that you would have an experience and encounter with God tonight, that there would be a personal name that God would be laying on your heart and saying, hey, can you hear their cry? Can you see their face? Will it shape your response to mission? Is it compelling you, or can it compel you to serve and to give like Jesus? See, Jesus hears the cries of humanity, and he looks for people who can partner with him to be the hands and feet of Jesus. 2 Kings 20:5 says this, the Lord said to Hezekiah, one of the ancients, to the prophet Isaiah, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Friends, how many people in our city is Jesus saying the same thing to? I hear your cry. I see your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Hey, God is still hearing the cries of the least and the lost people, the last people. He came to save and to set people free from being hostages to sin and darkness and despair and confusion and hatred and strife. And guess what? You know what he's done? He's passed the mantle to you and I. You and I are appointed and anointed for the season that we're in, to reach the least, last, and lost people. Can you hear their cry? With the hunger. Oh, he came to save and set people free. And he's passed this with this mantle to us, and we're carrying it. And I get to carry, but you know, I want to carry with humility. Because I ain't got it all figured out. I'm probably only 3 or 4 stressors away from having a meltdown myself. I'm just kidding, but that's all it takes for any one of us. It just takes a couple extra pressures before you're like, you start to come undone. We need Jesus, friends, and so does everyone else around us. So we carry it with humility, but we also carry it with a humility that loves recklessly. See, I don't want to hedge my bets with love. I don't want to hold out on somebody that maybe I don't hear their cry, I don't see their face. But until I walk by them and God speaks to me, like Darren was saying today, I was walking, I was running, and God spoke to me, turn around and invite those people, talk to those young men. And in obedience, we can walk in that. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the appointing and anointing that God has called us to walk in. And we can obediently live that out and with humility, and we can love with recklessness, with a hunger that drives us to action, and with a desire to hustle to make a difference. Oh, you ain't hearing me tonight. Oh, I want to be humble in it. Yeah. And I want to be hungry to work at it and hustle at it, because, oh man, I want to see people come to know Jesus. There's an entire city here that need, there's less than 5% of our city here in Nanaimo that are faithing or practicing faith. That's a whole lot of people who need Jesus. Yeah. Oh, won't you strap on your boots with me? Man, sometimes we're so shy. Rebuke that. Who told you that anyways? Let me give you some tools real quick. If you're taking notes still, jot this down. Stick it on your fridge, your forehead, your mirror back at home. It's an easy tool, an acronym, to help you live in obedience to the call and commands of Christ Jesus. I think it has a slide there. It says BLESS. Here we go. BLESS. I'll break it down for you. We want to bless people. We want to be available. Man, some of us are so busy, we can't hear the cry. I'm just saying, maybe what would it look like for you to be available this week? Schedule it. Be intentional. Give yourself like an hour to walk around aimlessly downtown and see what the Holy Spirit does. Right? I'm going to go to Tim Hortons for 1 hour, God, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch and see who you highlight in this room. And I'm going to buy them a coffee and ask a couple questions. How you doing? What's going on? What do you do for work? I don't know. Just being available, right, Linda? Linda's always available. Right? Be available. And then what? Listen. Some of us talk too much. Yeah, listen to their heart. Ask some questions. Tell me about yourself. What do you do for fun? Do you have family? Real simple, right? Listen to their heart. Then what? Eat with them. Jesus always ate with people. He has a food thing for sure. And then when we get to heaven, there's going to be another feast. Man, I don't know. Why am I working out anyways? I'm just going to roll into heaven. Oh, eat with them. So be available. Listen to their heart. Eat with them. See, eating is such an icebreaker. I don't know, probably because eating is like, it's kind of weird probably, right? And they're both, you're both kind of doing, and it's kind of embarrassing probably together, and you're like wiping your mouth all the time. Me, it's the beard. Oh, anything in my beard? I never ask a stranger if there's anything in my beard. It's awkward. Serve them. Here's how we say it. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt. Hey, how can I help you out this week? What can I be praying for? I've never had anyone ever refuse me an opportunity to pray for them or to pray for something that's going on in their lives. And then some of them say, oh, I prayed before, I never worked. Oh, trust me. Oh, watch this. They got one already. Because I know Jesus shows up and he answers prayer. Mm-hmm. And then share your Jesus story with them, how God has changed your life, changed your heart, your ethics at work, your lifestyle. I know he might have saved you 15 years ago. Save the story. But God is still at work in your life. Talk about something that's going on in your life, that God's still at work in your job, it's still at work in your attitude, how he's shaping that. Find those stories and share them. Be a witness of Christ for the sake of someone else who might just say, hey, I need that kind of change up in my life. Now, you've probably seen the number 99 around here at Beloved. A few of you probably have the shirts on tonight. It's a reminder to us and others of the mission that we are on here at Beloved City Church, and that we invite everyone to be a part of. The gospel writer Luke, he recounts a parable story told by Jesus, illustrating how we can take steps, not only in receiving the least, the last, and the lost, that's a family stage, right? But also the seeking sinners, seeking the least, the last, and the lost, that's like being an army, that's being mature in our faith. And let's look at Luke 15, 3 to 7. So he, Jesus, told him this story, this parable. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he doesn't go home and put his feet up. What does he do? He calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, party with me. Rejoice. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, friends, we own that responsibility at Beloved. We are the 99 on mission, seeking and searching for lost people. This is the heartbeat of Christ. And as part of the 99, we are doing everything we can, whatever we can to reach the one. And even bigger, we are dreaming of reaching the 1% of the population of Nanaimo. That's 1,100 people, friends. Amen. Can you imagine a church of 1,100 people in this city? Woo, wow, we're gonna make some difference in this city. It's beautiful. And we can reach the 1%. How? By you and I owning the mission of that. We are the 99 on mission, looking for the one. One person at a time. One conversation at a time. One blessing at a time. We serve a God who is bigger than we can ever imagine, ask, or even think. Because Jesus is for everyone, friends. Too often, some people, you know, we hear the criticisms of church, you know, being seeker sensitive. But I really dare to challenge us to reflect also on our seeker insensitivity as well, right? We want to be a church that you might be worshiping alongside someone who's in church for the first time in their lives, and Jesus is talking to them and speaking to them and moving on their heart. And we love it that way. I want to worship alongside people beside me that don't know what the heck is going on in this place. What's this guy even saying? No, friends, I don't want to be insensitive to the things that Jesus was all about. With all my heart, I want to be part of leading a church that seeks lost people and brings home lost people and invites lost people and teaches lost people and rejoices over that one lost person coming to know God and to find freedom in their life and to discover their God-given purpose. And then they too jump on a team to, that's all about making an eternal difference for somebody else to make a difference. This is our mission. I love it. What God has called us to. We will shape the future of this city, friends. We will shape the future for generations to come. We will shape the spiritual climate of the city, the political climate, the familial system, our school systems, our church, and the future church. We will shape the future because God has called us to it. How? Well, simply by invitation. I know I'm out of time. You still got some patience left for me?
Yep.
All right, a couple of you, that's good. Invite. Will you take a step boldly to invite people into your life, others to come to live alongside you, to live out this redemption story with you? We are the dearly beloved who are inviting others to be loved. Come with me and experience a love so great. Like Christ, we are offering up our lives for the sake of others. And I lay up my treasure and I invest my time and my energy and my finances to make this kingdom difference in their life and to impact the one. This is the heart for the house here at Beloved. Making a difference by inviting others is part of a response to knowing God. See, when I begin to know God, I can't help but to share this good news with somebody else. Growing in freedom, discovering good news isn't meant to be kept. I know some of you find a favorite fishing hole and you don't tell anybody, right? Some of you even go to your favorite restaurant and nobody knows, but this isn't how the gospel is meant to be, right? So let's cancel that spirit and let's share. Let's invite. This is the best news. Luke 14, 23 says, go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. So will you help? Will you join a team of people who are on mission bigger than any retirement plan, friends? Bigger than any education plan? Bigger than any personal ambitions and plans and dreams that I have? Bigger than even my own personal YouTube channel? Bigger than any stage? Bigger than any political agenda? Bigger than any problem that I'm even facing? Will you help move this God placed church forward on mission, friends, in this city by inviting everyone you know, come. Come know Jesus with me. Come do life and ministry with me. Come. Oh, there's some grit. Come and get healed. Come and get set free. Come and discover why you even live on this planet. Take a step. Invite an unsafe friend to dinner this week. Can you do that? Put it. Get your phone up. Put it in your calendar right now. You have dinner with whoever God's highlighting in your mind right now. I'm calling them tomorrow. Maybe before you even get home. Have dinner with someone that doesn't know Jesus. Invite them. Bless them. Put it on your calendar. Be intentional. Invite someone. Here's something that I want to encourage you to invite to. I think I've got this for you on the slide too. What's Next is kicking off. It's a course that we offer here at Beloved because we want to lead people to know God and find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. And so we want to encourage them on their journeys. What's your next step? What's God calling you to? And so we walk through this 6-week or 5-week course. It's starting July 7th. I think if we have it on the slide into as well in our city groups, we've got a couple homes that are opened up. So join. Before you go, see someone with a lanyard and say, I want to be part of that 5-week or 6-week in small groups, in city groups. Start. I want to know what's next in my life. I want to know how I can be a part of helping other people find out what's next in their life too, because it's bigger than me, right? I love it. So July 7th in our city groups, join one. Sign up tonight. It'll be in small group format. Come experience what it means to know God in a real tangible way. Maybe you need freedom from shame and hurt and broken habits. Hey, you're not alone. There's a great team of people here at Beloved who are finding freedom, who have found freedom, and will help you on a journey to freedom. We also have Beloved June. Just going to give you some information now. I already gave my heart to you. I want to give you some information. Just Beloved June. Beloved June is a division of Beloved City Church, offering mental health and professional counseling services to the general public. There's a website. If you know someone that's needs some help working through anxiety, working through some depression, jot the website down. Say, hey, check this out. Find some help. Find the help you need. It's Men's Health Awareness this month. Maybe you know a man that's suffering through depression. Let them know, hey, I know someone who can help. Talk to them. Find out what is your next step. Purpose. Come be part of growing healthy teams that grow the healthy church, that God's great church. I'm encouraging you, friends, jump on a team, right? We want to help people discover the purpose and jump into to be a part of that purpose and to make a difference. Jump in on the opportunity to learn about your God. We've got spiritual gift assessments. We've got all kinds of things that we want to help people know what God's called them to and then be equipped to actually be part of what God's called them to. Whether it be in the house, outside the house, whatever it might be, right? So come be part of growing healthy teams that grows God's great church, a thriving and life-giving church, making a difference for every generation, for every tribe, tongue, and nation. Did you know it's his plan, eh? The church, he died for it, gave his life for it, set this in motion, and we get to be a part of God's great church, making a difference. It's so much bigger than just hearing some good music and hearing some crazy TED talk. Oh, I want to be part of a church. See, this is church, this is service, worship service. Church doesn't start till I leave these doors and I engage in the mission. That's when church starts, right? So take a step. Let's shape the future together. Next Sunday, Heritage Sunday night. Heritage night, this Sunday, we're going to party. We're going to have some fun. Bring a friend. Come along with you. We'll kick off the night with worship, like I mentioned. Hear a quick word, and then we'll party. Have some fun. It's going to be good. Here's how you can help shape the future. Secondly, inviting is first. Secondly is invest. We have an opportunity to invest our God-given time and our energy and our finance into fulfilling God's kingdom purposes through obedience to Jesus' commands to give and to serve and love. How can we participate? Let me break it down. I've got three ways for you. Are you ready for this? We can pray, we can give, and we can serve. Number one, pray. As people of the presence of God, prayer has got to be where we always start. Prayer has got to be our first response, not our last resort. So what do? We choose to pray first, friends. Pray that we reach the unchurched people with the good news of Jesus. Pray for opportunities to help people feel seen and noted in your known in your community. Pray for resources to be unlocked. Matthew 9:37 says, Jesus says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Pray for laborers that God can send into the field. We want to see more people come to know Jesus, and we're short. We have a labor shortage, but we can pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more. There is an urgency. Who will seek and search for lost people? Who will invite others into a life-giving church? God is so good. Number two, give. See, giving repostures our heart. and reorders our loves with God's priorities. And through giving, this is a biblical principle that I live by, and this is how I say it. Giving to God's great church actually honors God. Saving second in my life builds wealth, and living off the rest teaches me contentment. See, you and I have the God-given opportunity to financially invest in building God's great church so that we can continue to reach more people for Jesus. See, giving financially is important to keeping the day-to-day ministries and moving forward. And money gives legs to the missions and sets the pace for the vision. You've heard me say that before. And your faithful giving does help move church forward, from helping to keep bills paid. Maybe, I know it doesn't sound very sexy, but planning for the future as well. But how much you give is between you and God. I choose to practice the tithe because I want all my life blessed. From experience, I know that God blesses every dollar invested into his kingdom. When we give money and I give my first and my best, we are practicing biblical stewardship. I encourage you to practice biblical stewardship. The scripture gives us examples of proportional giving and under the Mosaic law, and all, we can talk about that another time, but Paul taught us this, the church this way, when he said this in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. See, I don't want you to give out of pressure, but from a heart of joy. Giving because you want to. Giving because it's valuable and it's worth something to you. This becomes worth-ship. And we worship or worship God by giving him the most valuable things of our lifetime and energy and our finances. He gave first, so what do we do? We give first in return, right? Giving then comes from my heart rather than from obligation. So we hope you'll be a part of that. And I encourage you to be a part of that. So invite and invest. That's how we respond. Invite everybody you know, invest in your time, energy, and finance. Jump into a team, jump into a city group this summer and learn about what's next and how you can be a part of helping somebody else find out what's next in their life. Is that okay? I got some good news for you though, as I'm wrapping up here. To date, last year in May of 2023, we launched a money raising campaign to run with this vision of having a full-time building to call home, whether we lease it or maybe someday we'll purchase, but I think it'll be sooner than that. And being a part of a church that shapes the future of our city. And we began this 2023, we launched this money-raising campaign to help run with this vision. Many of you began to invest above and beyond your tithe and to help make this vision become a reality. And I just want to say thank you for that, your generosity. And this next big step that we're taking to raise $100,000 to be able to get into a future building of our own to call. We can have services. You want to have service all week long? No, so maybe so. But we'll have a building that we can do ministry and minister to other people. I can't wait to be able to have that opportunity to be open all week long, to have a prayer room that's open 24 hours a day. Like, this is amazing. And so I can't wait to be able to have that opportunity and looking forward to that. And so kids ministry equipment, all that fun stuff. So today you have already helped us raise just over $45,000 towards that goal. And that's exciting. Yeah, give your hand. And I have some great additional news to share. Recently, we had a donor come forward to give an additional $20,000 towards that goal. Yeah! Come on! Thanks, God! And here's what I believe we can do over the next 6 months in 2024. You ready for another challenge? We might have missed the mark in the $100,000 challenge in 1 year. It was May 23 to 2024. But here's what I think we can do. I believe we can do, actually. I do believe that we can match that $20,000 donation, dollar for dollar, before the end of this year, and bring us closer to that goal. That would put us closer to $87,000 to $90,000 before the end of this year. With $100,000, like, God is up to work, and I'm thankful for what he's doing. But do you think we can posture ourselves to do that? To take on that challenge? To trust God to provide in our finances for it? To believe that we can together match that $20,000 for dollar? I believe we can. It's posturing us for what's next in shaping the future for our city. And I'm confident that as we sow in faith, God will provide and lead us toward opportunities for a permanent space to expand the work and the good news of Jesus in our community. So I just encourage you, join me prayerfully in considering how God may be leading you to give at Beloved and help move church forward. Lastly, let's talk about serving real briefly, because I know some of you are getting thirsty and hungry already. Serving is God's heart for his people, by the way. Serving is the gateway to the mission. serving as your gateway to being an integral part of moving God's great church forward. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, because Peter knows the church is a team sport. No one gets a pass. He says, each of you should choose whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, you can jump on a team to serve, friends. God's graced you for it. Join a team. Help grow a thriving, life-giving church in this city. Anything great that has ever been done or ever been built takes a team, right? And that's what we're here to do. We are team built. You can be part of the team. Isaiah 6 and 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me, God. Go and tell those people. See, every act of serving is significant to the mission of reaching lost people in our city. No role is too big. No role is too small. So sign up. Jump on a team. See someone at the kiosk again. Help us move God's great church forward. Here's a couple things that you can jump in to help us serve. And we're going to wrap and pray, okay? Our citywide serve day is Saturday, July 13th. This is a global serve day with one of our partners, ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches that we're a part of across the world. And this July 13th is a serve day across the world like crazy. And so help us to find a need and fill it. And find a hurt and heal it. Maybe it's mowing a senior's lawn on July 13th. Maybe it's doing a dump trip for someone who doesn't have a pickup truck. Or maybe if you're really good with kids, I know there's a couple pop-up kids events happening with these enormous bubbles and snacks. And jump in with a team and help see a kid feel seen and known. I think that's really important. We see the next generation. We want to high-five them and encourage them. Make a meal for someone that you know that might be in need. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring donuts to the fire department. I don't know what I'm gonna, might take one too. Well, whatever it is, find a need. Maybe give a card of thanks to, like, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. There are so many opportunities to build relationships, friends, with lost people to make a difference by. So what I'm not encouraging you to do is go find all your Christian friends and have a barbecue. That's not what I'm asking you to do. We want to serve our city and we want to build relationships with the least, the last, and the lost. So why? So we can make a difference in their life, a difference in their eternity. Does that make sense? So that's July 13th, Saturday. August 10th and August 24th, you know we like a good party. So we have two neighborhood block parties coming up. And this is, block parties are an intentional way for us to create space to meet families in our local neighborhoods. And we have two neighborhoods that we have picked and chosen and filed for those applications, and we're ready to go. So come serve families in one of these local neighborhoods and games and activities and food. Bring a smile. Hey, friends, I totally believe that we can shape the future of our neighborhoods. Yeah. We can shape the future of our friends and our neighbors and make Jesus known through giving and serving like Jesus did. So, jump into some of those. And lastly, but not least, shaping the future for the generations to come includes reaching young families and reaching the next generation. Every decision we make here at Beloved is made with an emphasis of relating to the next generation and making space for them to be an integral part of building God's great church. It's of a vital importance to us. It's actually how we be a prophetic church. It's by making room for the next generation. The future church is already seated. The future church is going to be just fine with this generation of movers and shakers around this room. I'm trusting God for the next generation of leaders. So, but yet, you know what? No matter what age you are, you can be part of this mission. You can be part of shaping the future of Beloved by inviting and investing. See, our Sunday services are presently held in the evening, as you know, and some of you enjoy. But we do this for the availability, because of the availability of rental space here in Nanaimo. It's been really challenging to find a place to have a Sunday morning worship service where we know the world still looks at a Sunday worship between prime time of 10 and 2. That's what even unsaved people expect, to go to church in the morning. And it's also what we've learned over the last couple of years is we're missing a demographic. We're missing young families with children. And I want to do everything I can to remove that obstacle so that young families with children can come to know Jesus as well at Beloved City Church. It's something that I refuse to ignore. So we are willing to do our part in shaping the future for the families of this city. And so help us pray into this. I'm a believer for a building in the near future of some sort, whether it be a full-time lease in 2025 that will help us make that shift. But pray into this. Help us pray for God's provision and timing for the right open doors to be able to have a Sunday morning worship service. Whether it be, I know for some of you, 11 o'clock, oh yeah, I can sleep in a little bit, right? It's important. Competing with bedtimes and Monday morning schedules is a real thing. We want to make sure that we're we're taking that into consideration and say, God, how can we be a part of that? So open the front right doors. Friends, we are unstoppable when we are united in God's purposes and shared mission. And I'm so excited for the future of our city. I'm so excited for the future of this church and for your future. But in closing, I want to, some of you might have been through, oh yeah, we already got it up there. Look, I'm 20 minutes over past due. I'm so sorry, guys. Coffee on me, maybe. But I want to just close with this opportunity to declare this over our church. This is our team declaration. And I want to take the opportunity to declare this together out loudly. And then I'm going to pray. Do you want to stand? Let's stand. Oh, shake that stuff off. Sweaty chairs. And if you want to just put on a little bit of background music for us back there, I think, Landon, it doesn't work. Okay, no worries. All right, ready? Let's say it loudly because we believe it. Because God has called me to serve my generation, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and God's purposes over possessions, positions, popularity, and pleasure. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. Wherever you lead, and whatever the cost, I'm ready anytime, anywhere. I want to be used by you in such a way that on that final day, I'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. All right, all around the room, eyes closed and heads bowed. I want to pray. No one looking around, no one moving around, just for a moment as we reflect on this word in this holy moment, and then you can run home in a second. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, and you'd like to know God in a real tangible way, or maybe you've decided to follow Jesus, yet you find yourself struggling with overcoming sin, shame, and broken habits, and you're realizing that you need freedom from these things. Or maybe you are here tonight and you're not sure what your purpose is on this planet is, and you've been filling your life with every possible thing, every pleasure possible, and you're realizing that I'm just not being fulfilled. Or maybe you're here tonight and you know that God has resourced you to give and to serve, and you've been feeling Him prompting you to step up to use your abilities to make a difference, but you've been resisting, too busy, not interested. But even now, Holy Spirit is prompting you, yes, you, to get off the bench and get in the game. And if any of these resonates with you tonight and you are sensing the need to change or to say yes to Jesus, if that is you tonight in this room, anything that has resounded with you tonight, that God has stirred your heart to action, would you be so bold as to raise your hand and say, yes, that's me, Jesus, at the count of three. One, two, three, I want to know you, Jesus. I see your hand. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I want to do something great for you, Jesus. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. I want to work for you. I want to do what you've called me to do, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. I see your hands as well. Man, God, thank you for what you are doing in the room. I want to take a step tonight to go all in for you, Jesus. So right there where you are, friends, all around the room, pray with me like this. Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I don't want to be in control anymore. So right now I ask you to forgive me where I've messed up and make me brand new. Jesus, I surrender everything to you. Make me new right now. From this day forward, I commit my life to making a difference with you like you are doing for me. Jesus, I believe you gave your life for me. And today I give my life to you. And I believe that I will never be the same again. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for rescuing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, would you just celebrate Jesus loudly for 10 seconds as Cabanza comes? Woo! You're good, guys.